Okay.
Did you give me the signal?
Yes. But they can't. They cannot stop us.
Family!
Welcome to a very special holiday edition of the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, at Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by at Very White Guy.
And you are very white indeed.
Thank you very much.
So on this, as I said, very special episode, is Thanksgiving Day.
Amazeballs.
And my whole family's here.
It's awesome. Well, not everyone, but many of them.
Yes. Well, they'll be here this weekend. So we're going to be talking to various members of my illustrious family. But before we get to that, let's get some of this housekeeping out of the way.
Do it.
You are listening to the Interracial John Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search for Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. And you can find us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Tumblr. Just search at Interracial John. Again, that's J-A-W-N. And if you leave us a 5-star review on either iTunes or Stitcher, we will play it. Actually, we'll read it.
Right.
Yeah. We'll read it on air. We don't care what you say. You can even say you hate us. But if you give us 5 stars, we will read it on air. So
I guess a 5-star review is a 5-star review.
If
you feel so inclined to fucking troll us with a 5-star review, I'll read it. But
we will read it.
I'll be pissed.
Yes. So what else did you have to say about this special episode?
So this is the Dispatches from the Blue Room.
That's why I said it's a very special episode, because it is a dispatch from the Blue Room, which is our guest room here at our house. And so we'll be interviewing some adults, some kids. It's a good mix.
I'm excited.
And you were lucky enough to have dinner with all women today for Thanksgiving.
Lucky's the right word there. I felt really good. I was like king of the castle.
Yeah,
like,
and you were wearing your I Heart Black People t-shirt.
It's true, and I do. But it was nice. It was nice. Felt good. Felt good. And I'm going to do this is our Dispatches in the Blue Room, but on our next Interracial John, like the original, like normal episode.
Yes, our regular episode.
Yeah, I'm going to do a shout out for a lot of tweets. I've had a great week. My tweet will have
tweet
been.
Weep.
Yeah, really.
And we have a 5-star review to read, so
we
we'll
do,
have that
we do.
Too.
Right.
Hey, everyone. This is Leslie Mack, and we had such an amazing time interviewing my family over Thanksgiving weekend that we got enough material for 2 full podcasts. So you're going to be listening to part 1 right now, and that starts with my amazing mom, Valerie. And so here comes Very White Guy and his conversation with my mom.
So, Mom, Valerie.
Hello, Drew.
How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you have a good day so far?
So far, so good. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Good. And it was a good hotel?
Very good. Comfy.
That's good. Because they kind of messed up the reservation, but you got it squared away?
Yes, it's straight away.
That's good. Well, thanks for being on the podcast. I appreciate it. And I can tell you're a little nervous. I'm not going to, like, gotcha questions or, you know, there's no list or anything you have to know. I'm just, you know, we could talk and I thought maybe we could tell a couple of stories and
okay.
Maybe talk a little bit. But I just want to say I love you and I think you're the best and I feel like a son. So thank you for making me feel very, very comfortable and always welcome in the family. It means a lot.
I love you too. And you are my son.
Aw, thank you. So keep that in mind while we're going to talk about this next story, because I don't think we've talked about it. And I don't know if you and I have talked about it, but I tell the story, I don't say it like all the time, but I tell it a lot. And I don't want you to think like I'm making fun of you, but I'm going to remind you of the story. And I want to hear your perspective if you remember the events the same way that I did. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Do you know what story I'm going to ask you about?
No.
You have no clue?
No.
Okay. So you remember we were in Brooklyn. We were in Bedford Stuyvesant, and we were for Faith's graduation from, I think it was kindergarten. So maybe she was 5 or 6.
Yes.
And we stayed overnight at one of those like B&Bs where it was like a house.
Now I remember.
Now you remember.
Yes.
And what happened? So we were staying over in like an Airbnb before there were, I guess, now outlawed in New York. I don't know. But so we went to breakfast the next day in Brooklyn. If you listen to our podcast, Leslie was talking about her most recent visit and just how much it's gentrified, that there's just white people all over the place. They're, you know, jogging and, you know, having barbecues on the fire escape, and just the stores and the merchants that, you know, it's just totally changed. Even Denise's building, Mom, on Ocean Avenue, has, I think, over half of the rooms now are white people. And I don't say that in a bad way, just it's a changing demographic. And when,
oh, yes.
When for even 10 years ago, there was no white people in the entire building, maybe one white woman that had been there forever, I think Leslie said. And it's just, it's changed drastically. But so this is more than 10 years ago. So as the change hadn't quite happened, it was gentrifying.
Yeah.
So when, it was in transition.
Yeah, when we moved there, when Leslie was only four, she turned three. It was mostly Jewish in that building, Denise's building.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then the Jews moved out, and then the blacks move in.
Okay. And there's still
blacks and Puerto Ricans and Haitians move in. And then the blacks and the Spanish people move out, and now it's back to white.
Wow. Well, but now,
if
I remember, there's still a pretty very like concentrated area where there's a lot of Jewish folk in Brooklyn still, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I would say like Hasidim communities. And well, but so anyway, we went to McDonald's. You remember,
yes.
Man?
Mm-hmm.
And what? Let's just take it from there. What do you remember happening with at McDonald's?
Well, I remember it like you went to get the food, and I went with you because Leslie and the girls were waiting on us to order breakfast. And some lady was standing at the register. She ordered her food, but then she walked away.
Okay, I'm going to pause you for just a second. Don't forget. Mom's talking about a crackhead. It wasn't just some lady. It was a crackhead at McDonald's, didn't know what she was doing, ordered her food, turned and walked away. Okay, continue.
Yes. So the gentleman behind the counter, he didn't know what was going on because she just walked away.
Yep.
So Drew proceeded to place his order.
Correct.
She came back and very hyper. She said something. I forgot what she said. What did she say?
Well, so and I always check myself. I admit my own privilege and my own mistakes. And, you know, I live and learn. You know, I don't make the same mistake twice. I know better. I do better. But my mistake when she came in and she actually started berating the guy behind the counter because he had cleared her order and started taking my order. So she starts yelling at him, you know, what the fuck, motherfucker? I was just going to get my fucking money, motherfucker. Like she really started.
Yeah, she went to the cash machine.
Right. She places the order and then goes to the ATM. So the guy's like kind of looking, I don't know, kind of befuddled, and he's being berated. And, you know, white guy, my mistake. Here's the white guy.
Crackhead.
I should have shut up. I should have just, you know, it's not my position to, like,
no, but you did the right
him.
Thing.
I suppose, but, like, nevertheless, I come all in, and I'm like, you know, ma'am, you did walk away.
You walked away.
You know, I was trying to be helpful. Like, you did walk away from the register, you know. And she said, she got mad, but you don't remember what she said exactly?
She said, you white motherfucker, coming to my neighborhood and taking over. And then I said something, you want to come back tonight?
That was her. She basically berated me racially in public.
Yes.
And called me like a white devil, white motherfucker.
Yes.
And she kept saying, come back at 9 o'clock and then you'll see.
I'll be waiting for you.
Yeah, we'll be here. You know, we'll fucking kill you, motherfucker. You can't come in and take over my neighborhood, you white motherfucker. Like really for like a long time.
Yes.
Like a good minute, like screaming at me. I just stood there and took it. And now here's the part in the story that I always tell, and I want to ask if you remember it the same way. So this is happening. She's berating me. It's going on for a little bit. There's like 50 people in McDonald's. It's really busy. And as soon as she's done screaming at me, there's like a pause. There's no noise at all. Everyone's very tense and kind of quiet. And in that pause, in this, you know, pin drop quietness, you said something. Do you remember what you said?
I don't remember what I said.
You don't remember what you said?
No.
You really don't?
No.
and you didn't mean to say it loud, but it was like one of those like quirks of timing where she just finally stopped yelling at me. And it was like, just in my mind, it was like piercing it out. You said, Drew, you better be careful. You don't know about these black people. They might have a gun or something.
No, yeah.
And I laugh and I make fun of you, not fun of you, I laugh about it because, and we've talked about this, there's there's our friends Chonilla. She's from, I think, Haiti, and so West Indian as well. And they have the same sort of, there's a similar thread or dynamic. And what I think you express frequently when you said that. So for clarification, mom's black, right? She's Jamaican. And when she says those black people, she was really, in her mind, I think, referring to like a difference between Caribbean black and African-American
black. African-American, yeah.
Because you do not identify with the traditional African-American experience.
No, not
at all. You grew up in Jamaica. And you didn't even move here until you were 20-something, right?
Yes, correct.
Right. So your whole life was in Jamaica. And we even talked while you were going away. Your mom, Teresa, was in Jamaica by Jamaican standards, even by our country standards, was upper class, was well-to-do.
No, she was rich. Yes.
She was rich,
she was,
right.
She was considered rich. And she was also rich. My mom was half Syrian, half Indian.
Okay.
Yes.
So, in fact, when she came here to the U.S., she stayed for, was it a year, 6 months?
She didn't even stay that long. She says, her exact words to me were, Val, I want to go back home because I don't want to be a second-class citizen in somebody else's country when I'm a first-class citizen in my own.
And that's
so she went back
truthful.
Home.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And lived in Jamaica for many, many, many years.
Yeah, she had her own chauffeur, her maid, her gardener, and, you know, living maid. So, you know, to her, and that's how the Jamaican rich lives. They have their own servants, you know.
Sure. I mean, she was, did she work for a judge? Like, she had a prestigious career. And didn't someone come to her house or her church? Was it the Pope?
Yes, the Pope. She had a picture with the Pope, yes.
And didn't she have not like Marcus Garvey, but there was somebody that...
Oh, yes. She had, she was big in politics.
Right.
And so all the politicians, like the prime ministers, the governor general, would look up to her. She got awards, you know, the highest awards in the country.
That's awesome.
Honored. She retired. And then she volunteered at a high school that my sister and myself went to. And that's it.
Very nice.
So she was a justice of the peace, which is
that's right,
very high privilege in Jamaica.
And she passed away right when Les and I started dating. We've been dating for maybe a month
away.
Or two.
It's going to be in January 2015. It's going to be 14 years
since she passed away.
Yes.
No, more than that.
Yeah, I think she's 16 years. 16 years.
Yeah,
yes.
I was going to say.
Yeah, 16 years, yes.
It was right when we've been dating for about 6 months.
Right, then she passed, yeah.
And she passed away, yeah. But I didn't get a chance to go to Jamaica. Leslie went.
And that was huge. Our funeral was huge. Mm. There was not enough space in the church. We had the choir from my high school. The choir. When Leslie was younger, she went to Vaz Prep. My mom was on the board of trustees there at the Vaz Prep School. And so her dear choir sang. And it was a big, big thing. We had a police escort to the cemetery.
Hmm.
You know, it was sad, but it was also touching to see all the memories and stuff from my mom, you know.
Hmm.
Outpour of love and support for us, the family.
And so. what was her full name? Teresa?
Teresa Veronica Lindo.
Lindo. That was her maiden name?
That was our maiden name. Then she married Savage, my father. Then she married to a Smelly. Yeah. Mm,
Teresa. Well, she obviously did a wonderful job because you're a wonderful person. And I was, and when you were out with, I think it was Denise and Christopher just now, I was talking with Karen and Leslie, and I said that you raised three really, powerful, independent, strong, amazing women. And because in fact, we were talking about Rose having a little bit of insecurity with Karen.
Yeah.
And I said, I get it. I I'm not saying I have insecurity with Leslie, but, we've been together a long time. There's issues that come and go. But, her independence and strong will, and her even more so because of Emma Willard and some of the other, her upbringing. But
I think that personally for me, I grew with my grandmother from I was, I think, maybe 3 months old.
Oh, okay.
Because my mom, as I said before, she was high in politics and society. And so and my grandmother, I love her to death. She spoiled me rotten. And
Wait a minute.
I don't remember ever.
I get it. It's so clear to me now. No wonder you spoil your grandkids so much. I get it.
I grew up with my grandmother. I have never, ever in my life been hit. Never, ever. Never, ever.
That's great.
I don't think I did. I probably did things wrong, but my grandmother never, ever hit me. Neither did my mom, you know. And then my grandmother passed away. And then I think right after that, I got married.
Okay.
You know, but my mom was always there. My grandmother never worked. My mother supported us. And she, my mother always had a good job. You know what I mean? She was half Syrian. So her father was Syrian. And so the Syrians in Jamaica had all stores, like big stores, like I wouldn't say as big as Macy's, but they had like a chain of stores.
Mm.
And my mom always managed, was always the manager for one of them because they were family.
Right.
You know? So, and I went to a good school.
Now, Malika is related to Teresa Howe.
Well, Malika's great-grandmother and my grandmother are sisters.
Am I crazy or does Malika look a little bit like Teresa?
Just like my mom. She and Leslie, and they're both Leslie and Malika.
Well, the cheeks and the dimples, a lot alike.
And their color.
Yeah, but Malika looks like, I see pictures of Teresa when she was younger, and it's uncanny. They look a lot alike.
Well, when Malika was small, she also lived with our grandmother because her mom migrated to Florida. So Malika was always next door to my mom.
Okay.
They lived in the next house right next door, you know, so in Harborview.
Very nice. Well, we kind of got sidetracked, but so at the end of the McDonald's story, I just always, I think it's, for me, like when I tell the story, I'm like, and then my mom, who's black, says like, you better be careful about those black people. They might have a gun or something. Honestly, I like about shit my pants. My heart was beating so fast. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe mom just said that. Holy cow. And the best part, we get back to the table. And what does Leslie say? What was that?
What was that about? She had no clue.
And what'd you say?
I forgot what I said.
That was Drew.
She said, what about Drew?
Yeah, in fact, I think
what Leslie, did you do, Drew? That's what she said.
Leslie's, and she sat for about a good minute and with a stone cold face turns to me and she goes, you know, I would have thought the first one of us to be racially berated in public racially would have been me. You know, congratulations. And she gave me a little clap for being the one that got berated racially first in public. But then, and she didn't even know this part of the story, as we're leaving, I went to take all the tray with all, and like the kids got like the pancakes and all the sort of, so there's big containers of like styrofoam with syrup and crap.
And something spilled.
And the trash was totally full, and there's a bunch of crap like balanced on top of the trash. And I tried to put this stuff like in the trash or on the trash. I don't know what I tried to do, and it was like a Jenga puzzle of like garbage and trays.
It was almost
trays.
Filled, yes.
And when I did something, it all fucking fell down, and there's a huge like crash. All this shit hits the ground, and the dude that got berated by the crackhead is like looks at me. He kind of like gives me like a hand wave, like it's okay. And out of nowhere, someone in the crowd goes, "That dude again?"
Yes, I remember.
Like it was like a comedy routine. I couldn't believe it. That dude again? I was like, ugh, it was that dude again. It was a very white guy.
Yeah,
fucking did it again. So tell me something about Leslie I don't know. And I'll say this. I know we could talk about all your kids and all your grandkids, but I'm going to be very selfish. I want to hear something about Leslie that I wouldn't know. She tells me everything, I think, but there's got to be something I don't know.
Other than being spoiled?
Oh, I know she's spoiled. I mean, come on.
Well, let's see.
Okay, I got a question. You had a birthday party for her. Every year, there's a photo of a birthday party every single year. Every year.
We can make a strap. I think the last one was 13.
And her birthday's on, it's in
July 4th.
It's a holiday. So, and there's always tons of people there. And I was wondering, how did you get, because usually you get school kids based on the school year.
Okay.
How did you get people on the 4th of July?
What we do is that we always have it like, if the 4th of July is on a Wednesday, we have it on a Saturday.
Okay.
The Saturday before or after. And because the kids are still in school before the 4th of July, because they get out in June, And then everybody loved to come to the parties because we always have fun parties.
And it was sort of like an end of the school year parties,
right.
Okay.
And then a couple of years, we also had a Halloween party, and she had friends sleep over. And they all came in costumes, and it was fun. But her birthday parties was always fun, a lot of people. Before, we used to have it at a hall, and then we started having it in the apartment because we have one living room.
I saw a bunch in the basement.
Space in the basement.
Right.
And it was always fun.
And I'm going to, you said spoiled, and she's been spoiled, and I spoil her too.
You do too,
but
yes.
But on birthdays, you just set me up for failure. I can never win. We had a huge party, not huge, but I guess, big bar stands, like 50, 60 people.
Yeah.
We had a caterer and, jello shots and stuff. I think that might have been one of her better parties.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was fun.
But,
yeah, she had that. She showed me that.
On my 40th birthday, that was the most amazing party. She knocked out the park, and I just don't know how I'm going to compete. You set me up for an impossible standard. I just to try and compete with you on spoiling her on her birthday.
I think you're doing a good job of doing that.
I try, but it's like I always fail. It's just it's
no,
never
I
any. Good.
I don't think she considered failed. Not at all.
You're right. She wouldn't say
no,
fail.
No.
But I'll say this: you set the bar almost impossibly high when it comes to birthdays.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's just it's a tradition, I remember when she turned 4, and I don't know if she told you this, but every summer she would go to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And she would go to Jamaica to my mom, and then her birthday sometime would fall there. But this one year when she turned 4, well, we sent her after her birthday. But this one year, she went to school in Jamaica to VAS prep, and then she came back. But on 4th of July in Jamaica, she turned 4. So my mom had a big party for her, a huge party. So when she got back home, we had another party for her. It was another big party, right?
Mm.
And so everybody was saying, happy birthday to you. And she said, no, I'm not 4, I'm 5. And we were like, our sister was like, Leslie, you're still 4. And then she was crying. No, I'm 5. I had a birthday party in Jamaica. So I'm 5, And so that was that story. And then when she came back at that same year, she started pre-K. She was in school like for a week, and the teacher called, the principal called, Mrs. Snow called and says, are you sure Leslie's 4? And I was like, yes, why? And she says, she could read. And I was like, yes, what's wrong with that? And she could write her name. She can't tell me all that Leslie could do. I said, yeah, that's fine. She's a normal 4-year-old. She says, no, 4-year-old don't read. I was like, well, I guess she's not like every 4-year-old. So that
she had an extra year of kindergarten, did she?
She was in pre-K, but she went to school in Jamaica.
That's what
And
it
in
was.
Jamaica, 3-year-old read and go to school full time, And she embarrassed Denise one time because Denise and Junie Roosevelt took her to the movies.
I know this story.
And, after a certain age, you get to pay for the kids. So they were in line to see this movie. And they says, how old? This is 2 adults, And then they said, how old is she? And I think Denise says, I forgot what Denise said. No, I am not 6. I'm 7.
Yeah.
And Denise was like, shut up.
Sounds about my Leslie.
Yes.
Yeah, she likes to be right.
Yes, you got to be right, especially when you come to, I don't know about her telling her age now, but then she was very, very impressed with getting, and speaking of birthday, she had a big birthday right before she went away to Emma. And because all our friends were having bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs at 13, we had that big party for her at a huge hall. My boss came. She invited our teachers from Huddy and a lot of friends. And she had lights and the cake candles.
And what'd you call it?
It was so nice. I don't know if we call it anything.
It's a birthday.
It's just a birthday. And she was 13. Turned 13.
She was jealous of all her classmates having bar and bat mitzvahs, so she had a big party when she was 13.
She had a lot of her. She says, when I go over to school, I don't want to have a sweet 16, she says.
Oh, really?
So that was her sweet 16 and 13 in one.
Well, because when she was 16, she was away at school.
She was away at school, And she never came home, actually, except for Christmas and birthdays.
Really?
And she brought friends home too.
Well, but we don't want to say her name, but Lady J, her good friend that lives up there, that does the podcast with Leslie, the No Bitch Left Behind, was up there. So she had somewhere to stay frequently.
She stayed with them. Yes, yes. And also, they traveled a lot. Like the, you know,
right,
Spain,
she went to Spain
and every Cancun, the different lot of travels in the spring and the
so
fall.
I'm gonna tell you a secret.
Okay.
You know when she went to Cancun?
Yes.
They got so drunk.
I know because the our other friend had a timeshare. It was like in a gated community. And that's where they stayed.
Yeah. But no, they drank and drank and drank and drank and drank. And were they 15, 16?
They were.
I don't think they could even drive.
It was their junior year.
Okay, so maybe they were 16.
They were 16, yeah.
That's not that big a secret.
No, no.
All right.
They were 16.
Well, and so I would be remiss if I didn't at least talk about your cooking.
No.
And Karen got a little, Karen does cook very, very well. She's a wonderful
cook.
Yeah,
she does.
She's an excellent
food.
Cook.
Yeah.
But you do, and I don't know if you've been changing it, if you got a new pressure cooker, but your stew peas, it's not that it's different or better, but so the base, you know, like the complexity of the flavor, it's so, you've got it down to a science. Like you must have in your life must have made stew peas, what, 1,000-plus times?
Yeah, but thousands. I had a friend of mine. He was one of the VP at Air Jamaica. And he had
Pat.
And he had the secret because he told me, he says, put some coconut cream in it.
That's the secret.
And that's the secret, coconut cream. Not a lot, just a little.
Interesting.
And it bring out, just like in the rice and beans, or the coconut cream is in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this coconut cream does something to the stew peas, I guess because of the beans and the coconut
cream. No, it makes sense now. It's almost like when American stew and different recipes.
Yes.
You add beef stock, right?
Right,
or chicken stock.
But this one you had the coconut cream.
You add coconut cream. So it's like, it acts like a thickening agent.
Exactly.
It brings everything together.
Exactly, exactly.
And but you don't use scotch bonnet. How do you use
rice? No, I don't like pepper.
Neither do I.
So I try, if anybody wants pepper in theirs, they could do it after.
Okay.
But I just might, because the kids have to eat it too.
Yeah, I like it. I don't mind if someone puts the pepper in and then takes it out, especially if it doesn't pop.
Yeah, right? And I'm scared of it being popping, so that's why I don't put it in it.
Yeah, because
I season it, you know, like with the thyme, the scallion, the pimento seeds, you know.
It's good. I love it.
And I take the pimento seeds. Those pimento seeds make it have a nice blend to it too.
And you do something special for me whenever you make it. Do you know what that is?
What?
What do you do special for me whenever you make stew peas?
I put the dumplings and the fresh meat.
Extra
dumplings and fresh meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like oxtail. I don't like it as much as Leslie does.
Yeah.
I like the fresh meat. So
Karen does oxtail pretty well. So do I. But I don't do it as much as Karen does because I live alone. And then when they come over, I don't think the kids like it. I'm just going to ask them.
Okay, I'll ask when we talk.
Ask them.
We'll have to see what they think of mom's stew peas. I love it.
Love the stew peas. They could eat it all the time.
Yeah, you can make that for me. In fact, I don't think
except Chris.
I don't think there's ever been a time you've made it that it's gone to waste. It's been eaten every single bit of it every time.
Chris likes it, and so does Denise. But they only eat the stew and the fresh meat. They don't eat the pigtails.
Okay.
And the opposite, the girls only like the pigtail.
And I double up. I take the rice and peas, and then I put stew peas on top of it. Instead of putting stew peas on like white rice.
Yes.
Yeah, I like rice and peas with stew peas.
Yeah. Extra peas.
Extra peas.
Yeah.
Keep me regular.
All that protein.
All that. Well, that might even be a good segue to my next story. And I really, I hope I'm not embarrassing you because I love you and I just think it's fun. And so if it's embarrassing, we can edit it out. Do you remember the time we were at JCPenney and you farted?
Yes.
And from your perspective, what do you remember what happened? How did that story go down?
I don't remember, but I know I farted.
That's all you remember? You don't remember anything other than you farted?
No. That's a long time ago.
I don't know why farts don't make me laugh. I'm never too young to laugh at farts. So we're in JCPenney, and were Leslie and I even married at the time? We might not have been. It might have been before the wedding. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
So
we're in line at JCPenney, and I think you're buying something, and you passed a little bit of gas, and I was trying to be like polite, so I was like, you know, oh, excuse me, I claimed it, right? Like, so there's a little bit of a fart happens, and I know it's you, so I'm like, oh, you know, excuse me, like, you know, I let everyone know like that was my fart. And no sooner than I had said excuse me than you started to pass gas much more loudly. And do you remember what I said?
No.
I was like, Mom. No. I think I screamed something like, Mom, I'm not going to accept that one. I took credit for the first one, but that's what it is. And you just laughed and laughed and laughed. Everyone was laughing. It was so funny.
I thought quite some more.
Shit, oh. You're killing me. Oh. And you know, you'd think I would have learned my lesson with claiming farts. Do you remember the time I did it in Jamaica during the massage? Did you hear that story?
I remember the massage, but you did your fourth at the massage?
No. So Leslie and I were getting a couple's massage, and it was...
That was a wedding or no?
No, this is like after the wedding.
Okay.
You know, years ago, another time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at Breezes, and they've got the really nice spa with the, like, the little huts. You know what I'm talking about?
The new spa.
So we're in a couple's one, and we're getting, like, multiple services, massages, scrubs, like, you know, reflexology, the whole kind of deal. And they've got like the showers all in there. And so we're getting a scrub and you're naked and you're in there for hours and you're kind of relaxed and okay, you know, gas is going to happen. And I'm face down and I hear a fart and I assumed it was Leslie. So I said, excuse me. And I just left it at that. Didn't say anything else about it. And at some point afterwards, Leslie's like, oh, I can't believe you farted in the, you know, the massage. You must have been feeling really comfortable. I said, I didn't fart. I thought you farted. She goes, no, I didn't fart. I was like, oh, my God.
It was a girl.
It was one of the masseuses. But this is the best part. So, and I think the woman's name was Janice or Glenice. And we went back to Breeze's like years later, like 4 years later, right? And we're getting, you know, again, services. In fact, we were staying at Idle Hours, but we went to Breeze's to
get a massage.
Because right. They don't have a spa at Idle Hours, right? So we're getting the massages. And the woman says something to Leslie, like, oh, don't you know your mom? She goes, oh, yeah, this and that. And she goes, wait a minute. You're the one that took credit for the fart from Galice. And she went and got like all her friends. She's like, this the one that took the fart from Galice. She didn't work anymore. But she goes, come talk to her. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was like 4 years later.
So which meant after you said the fart for her, you probably went to her side and told them.
Of course. Him the one that took the fart.
That's funny.
I think maybe that's a good place to end.
You remember the time when you were getting married and then they messed up you guys' massages?
Oh, I tell that story all the time. I just told that today.
Yeah.
And why do you want to, what happened then?
And I made a big fuss over it because, I, of course, I put out a lot of strings over there. Well,
let me give the background. So it's our wedding day. We've got and this is before they built the new spa at the same resort. They had a one-room spa, one masseur, and you know, it was like appointments. You couldn't get couples massages, but you could have one at 2 and one at 3. So the day of our wedding, and we got married on a Tuesday, and we got married long ago, and it wasn't quite in vogue and popular to have destination weddings. Like now they have two chapels at this place, and back then they barely had one. But anyway, we've got massages. It's our wedding day. It's kind of special, and you kind of want to be relaxed. And they messed up the booking, and Leslie comes back in tears saying that they can't, you know, that I should go. You just go. You go. I don't want it anymore. I don't want the massage. You go. So she's all upset, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? So I go to walk down, and there you are with the masseur, and do you remember what you were doing?
I don't know what I was doing. I thought I was coming from the beach.
Well, no, I'm talking with the lady that gives the massage to the masseur.
Oh.
Were you, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how angry were you?
10. Definitely. Or over 10. 10 plus.
I'm glad to hear you admit it. And I love that about you. You're fierce and loyal, and I love it. But the thing is, and I don't think you realize it, like, here's a woman that's going to put her hands on me and give me a massage, and you're screaming at her. And I came in, and I was, like, trying to you know, like, de-escalate and, like, kind of, like, you know, bring things down a little bit. And I'm like, you know, Mom, you know, it's okay. And do you remember, and I love this, and I always say it exactly like you did. Do you remember what you said to me? You probably don't, because this is...
I said, Drew, shut up.
Yeah, you do remember.
I said, shut up, Drew.
You do remember. And you preface it with, I love you. Drew, I love you, but shut up.
Yeah, that wedding was fabulous. But and then the day before, the morning of the wedding, Tia, I remember, she went to get her, it was right after her, after 9/11. Remember?
Yeah, it was like a month, 2 months after 9/11.
Right. And then they had laid out a lot of stuff because a lot of people had canceled.
Right.
But they had a lot of people there when you were getting married because the guests started coming in. And I went to the dining room to have coffee with Tia, and she had a soup spoon. And I said, "Why do you have a soup spoon?" And she said, "That's what they gave her." So I called over one of the servers, and I says, "Why is she using a service?" Now, remember, I've been going to this hotel like for years and years and years and years.
No, again, sorry to pause it. I'll give more background. Mom is from Jamaica, family from Jamaica. When she goes to visit, as a Jamaican coming back to the island, the opportunity to stay at the resort typically is at a U.S. dollar price. So there wouldn't be a lot of opportunity for people that live in Jamaica based on their dollar to Jamaican dollar conversion to stay at these resorts. So they have sometimes good rates and they can, you know, take care of it. There's like an in-country rate for a lot of different things. It's not uncommon. And so you've been going to this place for literally 30, 40 years.
Yes.
And when I say going, like religiously, every year it's been
twice,
under,
more than twice. It's been four times a year.
Under like four different names, 12 different management. And like you get invited to the
the big party.
Not the big party, like the, what do they call it? The not the repeat guest.
The anniversaries.
Yeah, like the anniversary and like the, you know, like when they only invite like 200-300 people to a big event, you're one of those 200-300 people, right?
Yes, yes.
And whenever you go, they upgrade you to like suites and stuff.
Yeah.
So like you have a...
I get free nights.
Yeah, but there's definitely a...
A status.
And you kind of leverage that sometimes, right? But people, not in a bad way, just you hold them to a standard.
And not only that, I have known people that started at the bottom, like Chetty.
Yeah, Chetty,
started
right, yeah.
In, as entertainer.
And he was the GM.
And then he went entertainment manager. Then he moved to another resort. And he came back as the general manager. So I knew him when he was actually nobody.
And you, Michael, the guy from the
Michael from the scuba thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So and
no, and people would just they would be like, "Oh, your mom's so nice. This is Valerie's daughter and son. That you know they really loved you there." And you so, but I understand when you see something because it was weird. There's a
yeah, and something you could see.
Yeah. So you called up.
Yeah, I called up and I said, "Why are you having?" And she says to me, "Well, Miss Valerie, the hotel was they laid a lot of stuff, and you know, and so we short staff." And I was there's no excuse. So I went up to Chetty and I was very upset. I said, "You know, here's Leslie. We're having this. All these people coming to this wedding, and not only that, you have regular guests there. And it's not a good." I said, I forgot what I said to him, but for using a tablespoon for tea or coffee. And so he said, "I'll take care of it." Well, what I didn't know that same morning he called a meeting with all the head of the house, all the head of the departments there, including food and beverage. And said, "This would not have, could not have happened, not supposed to happen at all. Doesn't care what day it is, how many people you have working there, and nothing." And so all that changed. So right away he brought in more people to work, and guests keep coming in, you know. And it was nice, you know. But as I said to Chetty, I says, "I would not feel good knowing that this happened and you don't know about it."
Hmm.
And he was like, "Thanks to be my ears and my eyes, you know." So
it's still a great resort. They did the upgrade.
Oh, definitely.
You still
definitely
have those rooms with the private pools, like
yes,
the plunge pools, I guess they call them.
Yeah, but now they changed owner. They're sold out. It's just sold out.
Oh really?
To another company, and I think they're Canadian owned. So they bought that place. They bought Heater Three, which is the other one up the road, and they bought Sandals, Tom's River.
And so, but Breezes, is it now kids too? But they changed.
Yeah, that Breezes now. I forgot what's the name of it now, but it's now a family resort. But this is a family resort, but I don't think I take my grandkids there because they don't even have like a water. They're supposed to be putting in a water park, but they have that. I don't remember where the where the jewelry shop was.
Yeah, I remember
well,
that.
Well, and where the gift shop was.
Yeah, in the middle.
Well, they changed that to a kiddie center, the gift shop, and the jewelry shop is now.
When you say kiddie, like 2, 3, 5 years old?
Yes, up until I think 12.
Because it used to be for years and years and years, you had to be at least 16.
16, right.
But that was, I like that.
I stuck. Leslie went there before she was 16. So did Chris.
Of course.
So did Curtis.
Because you've been going for 30 years,
yes,
and you call
yes,
a favor.
I just said, "Listen, I'll bring my grandson. My daughter is coming here." And this Oh, fine.
Well, they didn't want to let Kevin and Andrea with Tyler. Could,
no, because they were little though. Remember?
I understand. I'm just saying.
So they had to stay next door.
They
but at the day of the wedding.
Came,
oh yeah.
For the meal, they came
when
for
they came for the rehearsal dinner.
They didn't want to let him in.
Yeah, the manager there, and I told him. You heard that from him? I said, listen to me. I know you was when you were working the dive shop. So you're not going to tell me that they can't come in here. And furthermore, we had clearance from the GM.
One, and again, we should, you know, in an era before destination weddings were a thing, there's probably, how many rooms are at the resort? 200, 250?
Yes, yes.
And we rented like 40.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't
yes.
a small number. We had an entire wing, right? We had a lot of people come.
And plus we had people coming from Kingston, you remember?
Well, so for a Jamaica wedding at a destination, and I've seen when we were there and we've been there other times, there are destination weddings, and I've seen it where it's just two people.
And they had to have the staff sign up for them.
They had to have the staff sign for the witness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had 40 rooms, I'd say at least 30, 40, 50 people from the States.
Yes.
And then probably another like...
local.
40, 50. It was maybe 100 people.
Yes. Because remember we almost took over the dining room for the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had it upstairs. They did the...
Well, that was another story. Because McCarrie-Ann was our wedding coordinator. Very nice. And that was our last wedding there.
Right.
She, Leslie said, oh, we just have in the disco... You know, that's where you're going to have the reception. And morning I was with Chetty, you know, the morning. He was like, Val, just go to the damn wedding. And when you're finished with the wedding is over, we'll tell you where to go. And he said, whatever you bring, just give it to Carrie-Ann. So we had brought, like, balloons and things like that for decorations, right? And he just says, just give it to Carrie-Ann and go about your business. Enjoy your day and go to the wedding. And when you're finished, we'll tell you where to go. So I followed his instructions. I did whatever I have to do. And to our surprise, it was in the grand ballroom upstairs. You remember, Drew?
It blew me away.
It blew me away when I went upstairs. I was almost in tears when I saw it. They gave you guys this two wedding cakes. I don't know where the wedding cake went.
And a traditional Jamaican
rum cake.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I was like blown away because I didn't know it was silver and gray.
They had the DJ from the nightclub
DJ,
playing music.
Right, Patrick.
And they had the lights. They brought the whole sound system
And they had the food
up.
On the side.
Yeah, like a
and
buffet.
They had an open bar where we had servers.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's more common for that reason, but when you go to a all-inclusive resort and you're having a party or, you know, whatever, a dinner, you shouldn't have to pay for more liquor or this or that, but they don't do that anymore. If you're having a destination wedding, even if it's an all-inclusive resort, there's still a fee for people.
Yeah, and they charge you for champagne. They didn't charge us for nothing.
Nothing. Well, again, we brought...
You brought
a lot of money to the
place. Yes, exactly.
And I think we might have talked about it on one of our podcasts, but we were in Jamaica for 17 days.
Yeah, because you left there and went to Grand Lido Negril.
Yeah.
You went to Sandals
in Grand Lido Negril.
Right.
And Sandals. Yeah.
I remember
and
you guys
couples,
calling
three,
it.
Went to three.
Yeah. You remember you guys saying, you know, we've been here a long time. We want to come home.
I would never think it possible, but... Day like 14, 15, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go home.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been 2+ weeks. But we got there on a Thursday night or a Friday.
Because I got there the Friday too.
Right. And the wedding was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday at like 10 a.m., we're like, see ya.
You went away.
Goodbye.
To Negril.
We had breakfast with everybody and we left. It was great.
And the thing is that Mark had given you, you only went to two resorts. Then you went to Couples.
Yeah, we had three resorts.
And then you went
couples,
to
Couples, Grand Lido,
and
Sandals.
Right. When Mark gave you the other two, and I got you.
You and Moses gave us the one as a gift.
Right.
Yeah.
But
thank you for that.
We gave you Breezes as a gift.
Right.
And then Mark gave you Couples and Sandals. And I gave you Grand Lido Negril. But we never paid for none of those.
Well, the one room at Sandals, it was the nicest suite that they have. And it was two stories. And it had like a loft where the bedroom
was. You sure
was.
That it wasn't Grand Lido Negril?
No, Grand Lido had so there's one size up at Grand Lido that's got their own pool.
Yes.
We weren't in that one. We were the one that didn't have the hot tub or the pool. It was on the corner. It was still really nice and it was big. And it was instead of being two floors, it was like three rooms, and it had like a really big door. It had these balconies with.
Are you open up to the lawn?
No, we're on the second floor. The ones down on the first floor open up to the lawn.
Okay.
And we're on the nicer one above that. But so at Sandals, it was like I said, like a two story with like a loft. It had a full refrigerator and bar that they stocked every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just pour.
That was from Mark.
I could pour rum and Coke and anything I want, like a full bar, just like pour it at any time. Mm-hmm. They had their own, I don't want to say like restaurant, but like room service, catering. It wasn't catering. They called it concierge service.
Right.
So you can get anything you want. And I remember we stayed there first, and we didn't leave the room. Our honeymoon was like, you know, we started at Wednesday, and we might have gone to the pool, and we went to the dining hall once.
Right.
But we didn't leave the room. We kept ordering food, and maybe this is way too much information. I better stop here. But we're in the room. We're married, you know, doing married people things. And I ordered a bunch of food and water and stuff, and they came and knocked on the door, and I might have been naked, but I think I might have had like a, you know, I'm a big guy, so the towel didn't really quite fully cover me, but I tried to like cover me with the towel.
Yeah.
And I asked the guy to come in and put the food down. And so Leslie's upstairs. She can hear, but he can't see her. And I don't know if he knows she's there or what he thinks, but he can't see her because she's upstairs in this loft part. And I can't remember what he said exactly, but it was something like, "You're hungry, man." Something like "real thirsty, man." And I was like, "Yeah, you know."
Yeah. It was my pleasure.
Well, thank you for talking to us on the podcast. I felt you were very, I think, a little worried or nervous beforehand. Was it fun? Was it comfortable? You sounded
good. It was
very
comfy, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
I would say the thing that I would want most is for people that listen to be able to hear you and the genuine you. And I think that came through. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And I love you, Drew.
Love you too, Mom.
Okay.
Mwah.
Bye.
Hey, this is Leslie. I'm back, and hopefully you enjoyed that interview with my mom. Coming up next are our two nieces, Zoe and Faith. So you'll hear me interview Zoe, and then Very White Guy is going to have a conversation with our precious Faith. All right. I'm here with my beautiful niece, one Zoe Alexandria Washington. How are you, Zoe?
Good.
Tell the people, first of all, how old you are.
I am 10 years old.
Fantastic. And where you live?
Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn. Awesome. And what grade are you in, Zoe?
Fifth.
Fifth grade. Fantastic. So this is like your last year in grade school.
Yes.
So next year is junior high, middle school, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited? Are you a little nervous about it? What do you think?
A little nervous.
A little nervous. Why?
Because I'm going to get used to the school and it's going to be new to me.
Yeah. And you've been at that school for a while now. So like what, 4 years or something like that now?
Since second grade.
Second grade. Yeah. So three years. Yeah. So it'll be something new, but I think it'll be cool. And it's cool because in junior high, you get to switch around classes. So you don't stay in the same place. Are they doing that with you a little bit now or are you still in one classroom for the whole day?
Well, I only do gym, art, and science in different classrooms.
Gotcha. And everything else is in the one class, the main class. Excellent. And what is your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject is art and gym
art
and math.
And math. So I know you are a really accomplished artist. You're so good. I just love all of your art. So one thing I thought was really cool whenever I see anything that you draw, especially your drawings, is that it's like an interpretation of what you see. Like you don't draw exactly the way that it looks. So where do you get the ideas of what to draw and how to draw them? Like you had that one self-portrait. How did you think of how you were going to make yourself look?
Well, the self-portrait I did in art class.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher, Miss Donner, she gave all of us a mirror and we had to draw what we saw.
And that's what you saw, this because it doesn't look like a traditional face. You know how the eyes are different and the shape of the face is very different. So it seems like you see things very artistically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And has that always been the case or is that something new?
Well, yes, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And what other types of art stuff besides drawing do you like to do?
Math.
Mm-hmm.
And gym.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're very tall. Your dad's very tall as well, and you take up to him. So lucky you. You have all those nice long legs and very athletic and all of that stuff. And now you have a sister and a brother.
Yes.
And what do you think of them?
They're very kind and sweet, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to have them as my brother and sister.
Excellent. So tell me something neat or unique about Chris, who's your older brother.
Well, he has a passion for sneakers.
That's and, really true.
I don't like sneakers a lot, but the different kind of sneakers he has in his room, I like them.
You like them? They're kind of cool. And how about your sister, Miss Faith?
She's sweet most of the time. Sometimes she could be a little mean.
Yeah.
But I spend most of the time with her.
With her. Yeah, you guys are very close, which I know your mom's happy about because she's very close with her big sister. And they're very close in age, just like you and Faith are. And just like you and Faith, Denise and Karen are very different from each other, too. But it's good, though, I think, because then you both aren't always saying the same things and you kind of see things differently from each other. You think that's true? You guys, you and Faith, because you're very different from one another.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I know you've been doing for years is going to Jamaica for vacation.
Yep.
And what has been your favorite place that you've stayed going to Jamaica?
Well, my favorite place was Grand Bahia because it was big. Mm. And I also like Starfish mm-hmm. when they rebuilt it.
Mm-hmm. And Grand Bahia, I haven't been to that one. So tell me, like, what it's really big and what kind of did they have, like, slides? What kind of stuff did they have there?
Well, they don't have slides, mm-hmm. but they have a big pool that goes around the whole property.
Mm.
And it's a big property, and I like the hotel and rooms. And the only thing I didn't like about it is when we first came there, the TV was so small.
Mm. I guess they didn't want you in the rooms, huh? I guess not. So let's switch gears a little bit and just talk, ask a few general questions. If you could have any superpower, which one would you pick?
The ability to read minds.
Ooh, what would you do with that superpower? That's a good one.
Well, I would like to see what hear what people are thinking.
Yeah, you could do a lot with that. That's a good one. Get like all the knowledge, know everything that people are thinking all the time. That's a really good one. And I know you guys play a lot of, you have game nights every Friday night, family game nights and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite game?
My favorite game is Perkino.
Oh my gosh, I love that game.
And the new game that my mom bought is called Uno Dare.
Oh, I haven't played that one yet. Maybe we'll play it tonight. So Perkino, that's a good one. That's the one where you get like the board and you have to like get four corners and the whole board, right? That's the one?
Yeah.
The X and all that. That's a fun one. You know, I used to play that with your mom and your aunt, and they used to take all my money all the time. They didn't let me play with pennies. They were like, nope, you have to have quarters. They take all my money away. They're nice with you. They let you guys use pennies. And what's your favorite holiday?
Well, my favorite holiday, well, I have more than one favorite holiday.
Okay,
well,
tell me about all of them.
I like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I like my birthday.
Oh.
And I like Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Now, I'm sure Thanksgiving, Christmas, those are easy ones. Mm-hmm. Family, gifts, food, all good stuff. Your birthday, it's your birthday. That's a great one. But why Valentine's Day? Why do you like that one so much?
Well, first, I like it because I love chocolate and candy. And second, because Valentine's Day is about love and sharing it with the people that you love.
Oh, that's great. And that is a nice holiday. You get to have a reason to say I love you, right?
Yeah.
That's good. What kind of foods do you like to eat? What's like your favorite foods?
Well, my favorite food is the one that my aunt makes. Mm. Macaroni pie. Tastes really good when she makes
She's a good cook. Yeah. That's good. And what about, like, you said you like chocolate.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite candy bar or a favorite kind of chocolate or anything?
Well, I like Kit Kat, Twix, and Milk Duds.
Ooh, that's good. And what are you thinking? I know you probably don't have a full decision yet, but what do you think you might want to do when you get older?
Well, I might want to be an artist when I grow up.
Really? Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard you say that before. That's so exciting. Oh, my goodness. Have you thought about, like, what, like, do you mean just drawing? Do you think you might want to paint? Are you not sure yet? You just know you want to express yourself artistically.
Yes, and I, like, and I want to try painting something that I drew.
Oh, you want to try, like, taking it from sketch to paint?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that would be really neat. And maybe you'd, I mean, I'm sure... You'll probably, because in those of you listening, if you don't know, when you live in New York City, when you choose a junior high school and then a high school as well, you kind of get to pick maybe one that has a specialty. And so you could look for, I know that your mom's looking at some schools I've been recommended that have art as a focus. So I think that'll be really cool for you because you get to try different things like, I don't know, photography or painting, like you said, you never know. Sculpting, who knows? Who knows what you'll love until you try it? It seems like you like all sorts of. Every time we do crafts together and stuff like that, you take to all of that stuff. So it seems like all that art stuff will be good for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, do you have any questions for me?
No.
No, none at all.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Okay. Well, I think, what? Were you going to say something?
Mm.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's it then. We got all our questions out. We talked about the family already. Oh, I did want to ask you one more thing. So tell me what's your favorite thing about your mom and dad?
Well, favorite thing about my mom is that she's sweet and caring, and that she makes sure we have food on the table, and she puts clothes on us and a roof over our head. And the favorite thing about my dad is that he's nice and caring, and he loves me and my sister and my brother.
That's wonderful. They're going to love to hear that. I can't wait to see their face when they do. All right, Zoe, well, thank you for being a guest on our little show here. We'll be listening to this later on, so you'll get to hear yourself. But if you want to say goodbye to the people, and we have two people that listen to our show all the time. Their names are Carl and Juliet, so maybe you can just say hi to both of them.
Hi.
All right. Thanks, Zoe.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me, Faith?
Yes.
You can? All right. So how you doing, sweetheart?
Good.
Good. You having a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yes. How's school going?
Good.
Good. You're very, very short today. I think I told you before, and I got to be honest, you're my favorite.
I know.
You do know? Have you always known?
No.
No? But you are my favorite. I don't mean to play favorites, but I kind of do. I usually pick a favorite, and you're it. I got to be honest. You're my favorite. Don't tell your sister, though, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sorry I beat you tonight in that game we were playing. What was it called?
Loaded Game Party.
Loaded Game Party. You were right at the end. It was like you and me, we were tied, and then I wrote the thing that Leslie picked, and I won. I feel bad. I should have let you win. Do you feel bad?
No.
No? Okay. You were really, you had like a strategy. I was impressed. You had like, you knew how to play the game really well. Have you played it before?
Yes.
And I figured as much. I didn't know the strategy, but you really, you showed me the way. You had like a real strategy. And one of the times there was eight options, and you got 6 out of 8 right. Nobody got 6 out of 8. You moved 6 spaces in that one turn. That was amazing. No? That wasn't amazing?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. So what's going on? How's school going?
Good.
Good. You're not even very excited. Tell me something about school. What instrument are you playing?
I don't play any this year.
What? No instruments this year? I thought you were playing like the drums or something.
No, there's a new after school, and I don't go.
And you don't go. Okay. What's your favorite thing on TV right now?
I don't know.
You don't know? If you could be a superhero and you had any power in the world, what superpower would you have?
Flying power.
Flying. So you could fly? Where would you fly to?
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Okay. Are you guys going back to Jamaica soon? When's the next time you're going back to Jamaica?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. You were just there in July?
Yes.
Okay. And you guys go almost every year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And why do you go every year?
I'm not sure, but it's really fun.
You're not sure, but it's really fun. Is perhaps your mom Jamaican?
Yes.
She is. Was she born in Jamaica?
Yes.
She was born in Jamaica. What? And do you know any fruits and special dishes from Jamaica? What's your favorite food from Jamaica?
Curry chicken and rice.
Curry chicken and rice. Okay. Do you like patties and cocoa bread?
Yes.
How about stew peas and rice?
Yes.
Totally, right? And how about Johnny cakes and festival?
I don't know if I had one before.
You know if you had what before? You've had Johnny cakes before, right? That's the thing you have for breakfast with the corned beef and the hash. You've had Johnny cakes. I know you have.
I think so.
Hmm. And what about, so tell me something else. Do you have a boyfriend at school?
No.
That was a very, you said no without ever even thinking about it. You don't want to think about it even a little bit?
No, because I go to an all-girls school.
You go to all-girls school. Okay, fair enough. What boy, do you like any boys like that are celebrities, like Justin Bieber or anything?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
And how old are you?
12.
12. And you're in the 6th grade?
7th.
7th grade. And you're going to be in the 7th grade. You're going to be in 8th grade next year. You're 12 years old. And what does that mean, like, homework-wise? Do you have a lot of homework, a little bit of homework?
No, I have, like, a little bit of homework. And then at the beginning of school year, I had a lot of homework.
But not so much anymore?
No.
Okay. Do you like homework?
A little bit.
You do? Really? Didn't you, when you were playing the game, didn't you say that if you could do anything, you would have a button that pushed a button that you wouldn't have to do homework ever again? Wasn't that you?
No.
That wasn't you? Are you sure?
No. I said not go to school.
Not go to school. Okay. I guess that's similar. That's similar. So how are you doing? So I don't know if people listening to our podcast know, but so you're 12 years old, and was it this summer or last year that you learned you had diabetes?
This summer.
So this summer you learned you had type 1 or juvenile diabetes, right?
Yes.
And what does that mean? You don't know what it means? I mean, well, what does it mean that you have to do? What do you have to do every day and every night?
I have to check my numbers and I have to take insulin for it.
You have to check your numbers and take insulin. So when you check your numbers, you prick your finger and you take a little bit of blood and you put it on the piece of paper and you put it in the machine and it tells you what your blood glucose is, right?
Yes.
Right. And if it's too high, then you have to do what?
Take insulin.
And you do it all by yourself, right? Like, you know the math and you do all the, you prick your finger and you check the blood and you do the math and figure out how many units of insulin, right?
Yes.
And how do you feel about that?
It's okay.
Does it make you feel like maybe you're a little bit different?
Sometimes.
And when does it make you feel like you're different?
Like when I have to like eat, when I have to take a certain amount of insulin and I don't get to eat the foods that I want, I kind of get upset sometimes.
And do you feel, and what? How do you feel when it makes you upset like that?
I just feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sweetheart. But, you know, you can take the insulin, right? You can have, not all the time, you have to maybe monitor your diet, but like today we could have some desserts and have some pie and then just do your blood glucose and take more insulin, right? Isn't that an option?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a friend that is an adult. She's a little bit older than you are, and she's also a type 1 diabetic. And she did like you did. She measured her blood and would take the insulin. And maybe when she was 20, like maybe like 6 or 7 more years older than you are now, she got an insulin pump that measures her glucose all the time and sort of manages it for her. Have they talked about you about an insulin pump?
Yes.
And what did they say about the insulin pump?
I'm not sure, but I told mommy that I'm not sure if I want it.
Okay. I don't think they normally do it until maybe like 17 or 18 years old. Like they want to wait a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think they said like 2 years.
Okay. But I have to say, I'm really impressed with the attention to detail and how you've been measuring your blood glucose and taking it. Because the one time you were here for the barbecue, was it maybe like 2 months ago, back in August, 3 months ago? Your mom wasn't even here. Your dad wasn't here. It was just you. And you measured your own blood glucose and you figured out how many insulin units you needed and you took your own shot of insulin. I was really impressed, like really impressed, like a lot. Like a lot, a lot. Really, seriously. For real. So what else are you taking in school? What classes are you taking?
I take health, ELA, science, social studies, math, and I take art and gym and technology.
And what's, you said MLA?
ELA.
What's ELA?
English Language Arts.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Very nice. And so what's your favorite class?
Social studies.
And what are you working on recently on social studies?
We talked about Christopher Columbus, and now we're like talking about the Native Americans and the colonists.
Okay. Very nice. Interesting. I like it. So is there anything you wanted to ask me or talk to me about? Like, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Are you a bit shy right now, maybe?
No.
No, you're not shy? All right. You seem shy. You seem a little bit shy to me.
No.
No? Okay. I like it. Of our dogs, what's your favorite dog?
I like both of them, but I like Beatrice.
You like Beatrice? Mm-hmm. What about Binks? Remember Binks?
Yes.
Wasn't she a sweet dog?
Yes.
Yeah, she was a really good dog. It's too bad she had to. We had to put Binks down. She was too old. But you like Beatrice best, huh?
Yes.
And why do you like Beatrice best?
Because she's playful.
She's kind of licky, though. She likes to lick a lot.
And eat a lot of food.
She does. She'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen her not eat something? Like, is there anything she doesn't eat?
No.
Me either. She eats rocks. She eats sticks. She eats grass. She eats poop. She eats anything. It's really kind of gross.
And today she ate paper.
No. What paper did she eat?
Auntie Leslie, she gave her the cardboard from the paper towel, and she was just chewing on it, and she kept biting it into pieces and swallowed it.
She does kind of like those tubes from the paper towels. Mm-hmm. You're right about that. You're right. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, anything you wanted to say? You're on the podcast. Let me give you a little ding for the podcast. And do you know what I am to you? What am I?
My uncle.
But I'm an extra special kind of uncle. What kind of uncle am I?
I don't know.
I'm your godfather.
Yes.
Do I do a good job as your godfather? I feel like I don't.
Yes.
I do?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I'm a little bit lackadaisical. I don't know if you know that word, but I'm kind of lackadaisical as a godfather. I'm not doing my job as a godfather. I try, though. I try a little bit. Not always, but I try. And what did I tell you today?
That I'm your favorite?
I did say you're my favorite, but don't tell your sister. I don't have favorites. I love all of you, but I really do have you as my favorite. Shh, don't tell anybody, okay?
Okay.
Shh, it's okay. Don't tell anybody you're my favorite. All right, sweetheart. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here for Thanksgiving, and you're going to come again for Christmas, and I hope you have a good time when you come here, because I love having you here. You're so fun. Do you have a good time when you come?
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I appreciate it. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Leslie Mack again here. So the final interview for part one of our Thanksgiving dispatches from the Blue Room extravaganza is with my big sister, Denise. And I'm doing the interviewing here, and we have a great conversation about our childhood and some funny stories that we had together. So enjoy. I'm here with my lovely big sister, one Denise Marie Richmond. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Great. And we just finished talking to your youngest daughter, Zoe. She, of course, had wonderful things to say about you. She loves you so.
Mm-hmm.
And, but enough about them. Let's talk about my favorite subject, which is me.
Okay.
Well, actually, let's take it back further than that. Tell the wonderful people here where you were born and where you grew up and some general background information about Denise.
Well, I was born in Kingston, Jamaica. I grew up in Kingston, Jamaica until the age of 10. And I came to the United States, and I grew up in Brooklyn, where I still currently reside.
Oh, lovely. And you have three wonderful children.
Yes.
Christopher, your oldest.
Yes.
Your only son.
My only prince.
Ah. And our two princesses,
yes.
Faith and Miss Zoe.
Yes.
Yes. And you... I don't want to talk about your work or anything like that because that's like boring stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about more fun stuff than that. And so.
Well, the good thing about my job is I've been there for, as of October, 30 years.
Wow.
So
that is a really good
thing. That's the only good thing.
That's a monumental achievement, mm-hmm. especially in these days.
Yes.
People don't usually get to hit those milestones like that. So that's awesome.
That's enough about work.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
So enough about that boring stuff. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple of stories that I remember so we could get from like your perspective, the same stories. And then, so our mom, as Denisha mentioned, she was born in Kingston, Jamaica. I was born here in the United States. I was the first person, our family born here. And so we were a young immigrant family in New York City. Mm-hmm. And our mom had to work quite a lot to keep us afloat here in the big city. Mm-hmm. And so my sisters were left to raise me for the most part, in particular you, who is left to deal with me and my temper tantrums and all the other foolishness that I brought to the table. So a lot of those stories I have is just like if I was somewhere, if you were somewhere, I was there, or if I had to go somewhere, you had to take me pretty much.
Yeah, you basically tagged along.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't go anywhere without me there. You had a pocketbook then, and now you have
you
a pocketbook
still have
now.
Pocketbook.
Lucky you, light skin pocketbooks all over.
Yeah, I tell you.
So one story that I always remember is when you lost me at the beach.
Why did I know you were gonna bring that up?
In my Miss Piggy bathing suit.
I don't think I lost you.
Well, in my recollection, I'll tell my side of the story. Right. My recollection, we were at the beach. I went in the water. I was left by myself to go into the water. I went in the water. You know, like the waves like move you. It's a ocean, and it moved me. And when I walked back out of the water, the people that were there the last time I came in, when I walked straight, were no longer there. So I didn't know what to do. And I, of course, being resourceful, went to a police officer and I said, hey, I lost my people. I don't know what to do. And they took me to the child, you know, lost child, I guess. They had an area there, like a little playroom. And this horrible little boy was there. And he was like, no one's ever going to come for you. He kept saying to me and everything. And then they like announced over the loudspeaker that, you know, a little girl's lost. She's wearing her Miss Piggy bathing suit. And eventually you guys came and got me. But I remember being very, very just, you know, harrowing and, you know, whatever. How long was I even lost for? Let me ask you that. Because I for me, it seemed like hours, but I'm sure it wasn't that long.
First of all, I don't remember losing you or you being lost.
Okay.
So we have totally different stories.
Okay. So maybe you tell your story then. What happened?
It's been a long time.
Okay.
So I don't remember you going to the police precinct, the police officer. You probably did.
Yeah, I did. I remember going to that. I looked for like, you know, a uniform because I was like.
But technically, we didn't lose you.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the water did drift you.
Yes.
We were still in the same spot. When we went looking for you, you weren't there.
And then what did you do?
Of course we went looking for you.
Okay.
I was there with a few friends.
Right.
You know, I was a teenager.
Sure.
An early teenager.
Right.
And of course we went looking for you. And of course we found you eventually. I mean, like I said, I don't remember the whole thing.
Right.
But in my mind, we didn't lose you.
Right.
You just wandered off.
I wandered off, according
to you. Of course. Not the first time. But that was the first one.
Right.
But we ended up finding you because, of course, I can't go home without you.
I would think that might not go over well
exactly,
with mom.
Or don't go home at all. but thank God we found you.
Okay, so you think I lost myself, basically. I wandered off. That's basically
it.
You didn't move. I moved.
Yeah, we didn't move.
Right. Which I get, but I also feel like you should have been watching me where I was wandering off.
We were watching, but I guess with the
not
with
very
lot of,
well.
I guess a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was busy. I mean, those beaches are pretty crowded
in
the summer.
Beach, so it's very busy.
Yeah, very busy beach.
At the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. Another story that I remember is me going to the movies with you in Junie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were under five, you didn't have to pay to get in.
That's right.
But I was five. And you guys were trying to, you know, just like sneak me in, like so you didn't have to pay for me. And my big mouth.
Right. I said, keep your mouth shut. You're under five. You're not five. You're on the five.
Right.
So, of course, we get to the theater, and, of course, you're like, oh, I'm 5 years old. You know, of course. You know, I'm like, no, she's not. She just wished she was five.
Oh, my gosh. I remember Junie's face. That's actually the only thing. I remember him looking at me like, is this for real?
I know.
I don't have the money to pay for one more ticket. Like, that's what I remember the look on his face kind of being like.
The key is never take a kid with you up to the counter.
Right. You have to leave them. Like, stay here. I'm going to get the tickets.
Because kids are kids.
They'll just say whatever they want to say.
And I was a teenager, so, you know.
Exactly. So one of the other things, I just always remember on my birthday parties, of course, the extravaganzas that were my birthday parties.
Every year. Well, 4th of July.
Different theme. You know, coordinating cake and coordinating, decorations, right, and everything. What do you remember? Like, what went into the planning of those? Because for me, like, I just remember, I never decided a theme or anything like that. I just remember it was like, oh, Smurfs this year, or, you know, whatever it was each year. So how did Mom go through all of that stuff?
I think it's whatever you were into that particular year. Oh. Whatever you were excited about that year.
I see.
You know, like, kids nowadays have certain things. So whatever you were excited then.
That was what it was.
That was basically the theme of the party.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that was more the stress, because we had to turn around now and do a lot of things. You know, make sure the house is clean and, you know, everything is fine. Is she dressed?
Is she dressed?
Is she ready? So, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know that that's how it was picked. I just thought, you know, it was arbitrary, whatever.
No,
just
whatever.
Was decided. So whatever I happened to, in my childhood, just decide I liked that year. Or strawberry shortcake or whatever.
Or she may have asked you.
Oh, she asked me what I was into, and I was like, oh, I like this kind of party.
Yeah.
That's basically funny. That's pretty funny. Okay, so talk to me a little bit about your childhood before you came to the U.S., before I was in the picture. I know, terrible to think about, but before I was in the picture, like, I know you guys lived in Jamaica, and you went to school there, so you were there through in grade school there. What was it like, and kind of how big of a shock was it coming to the United States in contrast as well?
Well, growing up in Jamaica, I was the youngest with my other sister. And I started school pretty early because she started school. I wanted to be in school. So my grandmother kind of pulled some strings. And, of course, I started school before my time. But a lot of when my mother came to this country to work, we stayed behind. We were in boarding school. So the boarding school part of it was a little tough because being in boarding school, being the smallest.
The youngest one in boarding school.
You know, every boarding school we went to, because we went to quite a few over the, you know, in my 10 years. And we hated it. At least I hated it, you know. And I particularly remember the last one. I was a biter. I used to, if I couldn't get my way, I would bite everybody. But pretty much growing up in Jamaica was fun, you know. Being upper class, basically, and, you know, see my grandmother all the time. We had helpers, and, you know, it was fun until we got here. You know, things changed. You know, you no longer had, you had to, basically, you were middle class, lower class, actually.
Right.
You know, my mother worked a lot, and she worked for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, she had, like, three jobs. Yeah. I remember she had a regular job, she had a night job.
Yeah, she
during the week,
lot.
And she worked on the weekends, too.
Yeah, even went to work with her once, two times, to help her clean somebody's house.
Yeah.
But it was a little rough, because we were, like, you know, we get our clothes, basically, some from hand-me-down or from people or Salvation Army. Not Salvation Army, but like yard sale, garage sale. Churches used to have sales at the time.
And I used to make a lot of clothes, too. Like I remember you used to have patterns and you sew stuff. Yeah. You're always like really...
But yeah, but it was different. It was a culture shock, you know, coming from one class to the next class. And, you know, being from another country, kids used to tease you because of your accent.
Right.
And, you know, as I became a teenager, of course, everybody wanted that Jamaican accent. And I was trying to lose mine.
Right.
You know, because they were teasing me at the time. But it was different. It was different growing up from Jamaica to here.
Right. And this may be something you have or haven't thought about, but what do you think about how your life would have played out there versus how it has here?
I don't know. I talk to my sister all the time. And I even the other day, it's funny because I even thanked my mother for the way we were brought up, because if you don't know where you're coming from, you don't know where you're going. So the struggles that we had to go through, the things that we lacked and didn't have, we appreciate it more so now than if we have had it.
Right.
You know, if we were privileged to it, you know, if you want to use that word. But it does make a difference when you have to really work for it, because you appreciate the value of what you have and how you got it. So, you know, this is what I try to instill in my kids, but it's kind of harder now because everything is so, it's so easy to get and everybody have it and everything is so electronic. And,
right.
You know, but I appreciate where I came from, mm-hmm. you know, seeing, you know, being spoiled basically with a maid mm-hmm. to come in here at 10. I'm glad I came here at 10. We were only supposed to be here for 1 year for snow, but we ended up staying.
And really, you thought you weren't going to go back?
No, the point was to come and visit and whatever, but we were supposed to go back, but that never happened.
And why?
I don't know why, but it just, that's how, because my mother was here.
And you just stayed with
mom. We just stayed, yeah.
And what did mom tell you about why she was coming here?
Well, she was always here. She used to stay here to work, to help, you know, support us in Jamaica.
I gotcha.
So she was always here, you know. And then when she did come back, of course, we lived with her instead of boarding schools and things like that. But finally, right. she decided she was going to come here. Actually, we were supposed to be living in Philadelphia.
Really?
Not Brooklyn. But we end up in Brooklyn.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we end up in Brooklyn, and we stayed at some friends' house on 21st Street for a little while before we got our first place. And then there was a fire in the middle of the night that somebody was smoking.
That was on Ocean Avenue,
That was on Flatbush Avenue.
Oh, on Flatbush, okay.
And we had to get up like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she had to get us body there. So we lost that apartment.
And everything, if I remember.
Yeah, like basically everything. Of our stuff.
All your stuff.
Yeah, except for we came out with a few pieces
of
furniture.
A few things. But
yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, all your, like, clothing was
gone.
Yeah,
a lot of things were
that
gone
stuff.
Because of the fire.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we end up moving to Ocean Avenue, which, you know, we've always been in the Flatbush area.
Yeah. And it's funny because one of our last podcasts, I talked about the trip that I just came to visit you for 5 days
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago and how different.
The area has changed a lot.
Our neighborhood is. Yeah. And I have such fond memories of growing up there because it was a real, like, I don't know. I just remember it being very community oriented. And I remember, like, everybody knew each other.
Right.
You know, you didn't do anything bad outside because somebody's mom
somebody,
was going to
yeah,
see you. You know,
you. Yeah.
Somebody knew you. And, you know, when the ice cream guy came, whoever's mom was there would buy everybody mm-hmm. an ice cream cone. Like,
yeah.
I just remember, you know, every floor, all the kids knew each other.
Yeah.
We all hung out together.
Yeah.
It was a lot. You know, the older sisters and brothers hung out. Then the younger ones
yeah, the
hung
teenagers
out.
Teenagers were outside.
Right.
On one side.
I remember all
outside.
Of that. Like
it's
all the
different now.
Yeah, and it's so everybody's so
people
closed
don't play outside
off
anymore.
Now.
Like
yeah,
they used to play outside. You know.
I know it's so sad too because I remember it being such a big like part of developing my interpersonal skills, mm-hmm. like how I learned to interact with people. And when you only get that in a school environment, there's a part of that that's not trained well.
Well, when you're in school, you're only in school for a certain amount of hours.
Right.
And once you leave school, you're no longer talking to those friends. You're lucky if you have one coming out of there and you're speaking to them on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Whereas in your neighborhood, in your building, you're outside playing every day.
And they know your family.
And
they know
your,
you know, yeah, it's much more. And
it's different.
And you spend time with just you and them.
Yeah,
where at school, it's like other people are there. There's mm-hmm. adults around.
The peer pressure.
It's totally different when it's just you have a friend that you see them and you spend one-on-one time, just the two of you, nobody else is there. You're just interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And for me, it was really important because I didn't have any siblings my age. So it would have been really difficult.
You had a lot of friends, yeah.
If it was just me, you know, there, I mean, I love my sisters, but not to have any,
friends
I think
your age, right?
I think it already made me like talk sooner, having older sisters
right.
and all, you know, develop faster in that regard, but not having any friends my age would have been really, you know, unfortunate.
Right. You had quite a few friends in the building.
Yeah, but I mean, we were like a crew.
Yeah.
You know, we rolled deep.
Yeah, you had two women, so like Yolanda and
Landy.
And,
yep.
Yeah.
Daryl. Although, I mean,
yeah.
I feel like we spent Corey. I just remember all of us used
yeah.
to do also Genya,
Alani,
all of us. We used to spend a lot of time together. So I remember all of that very fondly. We used to go to the park and
do things and
do
stuff
all
like that.
Yeah,
even little mini vacations with Landy.
Yep. We'd go to Lancaster County or
Florida.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'd go all over the place. Yeah, that was always really fun.
So, yeah, it's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, you've done some traveling yourself.
Mm-hmm, I have.
Mm-hmm. Where, tell me about, you know, some of your favorite places to visit, favorite hotels, favorite trips.
Well, I mean, we go to Jamaica because
yeah.
the kids, we try to go every year because the kids love Jamaica. In the beginning, it was FDR because it catered to parents more mm-hmm. so. And also the kids, it gave the kids a chance to just go out and do their things because it came with a nanny and right. gave the parents a chance to unwind because it wasn't much for us to do but try to relax
yes.
while the kids do what they need to
and
do.
And you didn't have to occupy them.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
so,
they were already
right.
occupied.
So that was like a basic vacation. I mean, they've outgrown it now.
Sure.
You know, because they no longer need a nanny. So
and they can
need,
occupy themselves
right,
to some
so
extent.
Right now, we've been going to different places in Jamaica. We went to Florida 1 year, Disney, which they loved. Mm. And they want to go back.
Yeah.
But, and we went to Jamaica last year. And we stayed at the Royalton. So far, the Royalton and Grand Bahia is their favorite in Jamaica. So hopefully next year we go somewhere different.
Somewhere else.
You know, other than Jamaica.
Other than Jamaica.
But that's their vacation. Jamaica is their vacation. So I can't take that away from them.
Right.
Really.
I hear it because, you know, I spent all my summers in Jamaica mm-hmm. every summer. And I always wondered when I would go away what you guys did while I was gone.
What did I do? Just, I don't even remember. It's summer when we were younger. So
yeah.
it was like just hanging out.
You just hung out. I mean, but was it like, oh, she's gone?
No, because you know what it is? When you're a teenager, you have other friends. You know, I played softball.
Right. Yeah. And basketball too.
Right. So in the summertime, when you were gone for the summer, I would have to play. I played softball with my friends and hung out on the dead end. And you know what we call a dead end, you know,
dead end street.
Right. So with my friends. So, and we came from, we had a lot of friends as teenagers.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. While you were awake
without me to shackle you down
without you know having to worry about tagging along so
I remember
right, but we take you away when you were back we did take you to
yeah you did but I always remember it was like I mean school would end on like Friday and by Sunday I was in Jamaica and if school
summer, right.
and if school started like on the Monday after Labor Day I'd come back like just one
right,
week before
right.
just to buy clothes and
right.
get my school supplies
right.
and that's it and then school started I was
yep.
gone
for the whole
full
summer.
2 months
yep.
yeah which I mean I could do
but
a whole
you had a, but you had a good time
oh my God, I loved it. I wouldn't trade my summers in Jamaica for anything. I loved it. I was if it was possible for me to be more spoiled than I was in at home, it was at my grandmother's house in Jamaica. So yes, I loved every minute of it. But I always wondered, like, I wonder what they do when I'm not here, because I always felt like everything revolved around me.
Well, no, life went on.
So I was like, oh, I wonder what Karen did without me to take to gymnastics and without me,
we weren't missing those parts. We weren't missing those parts.
I was thinking, what did they do? What did they do with all this time they have now without me around to occupy their schedules all the time?
Yeah, play sports.
Getting me here to there to this. To
no,
there.
That was our winter tour.
Right. So summers you had free. You had summers off.
Well, basketball we had in the winter, but
right.
we still managed to take you places
and
where you need to go.
Yeah, you guys play basketball. Like you play for Tompkins. I remember going
Fabric
to games.
Tompkins, yeah.
yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
And you guys, and you met Junie there too.
Yeah, we met. Yeah, Junie
right?
there. Yeah, as a teenager.
As a teenager.
And 14.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah, which is, I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
And three kids later. That's kind of nuts, though.
Like 30 years later.
30 years later.
A little over 30 years later.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because in my mind, like, he's just Junie. Like,
you've always known
him. For me. I mean, we were telling a story earlier about me not quite being five and going to the movies
right,
with you guys. So,
right.
for me, it's like I don't know existence around without
right.
him there. I just think
the whole life.
He's just always been there. So, it's funny. So... Let's talk about mom.
Okay.
For a moment or
subject.
Two. Yes, she's interesting, isn't she? So... Tell me about, I know we learn from our parents many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's direct. They tell us something and it's advice. And sometimes it's an example they set and their actions, whatever. But what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned from mom? Or one of, it doesn't have to be the biggest.
No, it's kind of hard because, you know, you don't want to say certain things and hurt anybody's feelings. Not that I'm going to hurt her feelings.
Sure.
But it's just, you know, sometimes some people, you just have to sit back and watch them. And then you learn from certain things. Not necessarily what they say, but it's basically how they do. I mean, in this late stage, me and my mother, we now get along.
Yeah.
You know, now that she's in Jersey and, you know, we're much older and things like that. But basically I take no crap basically from anybody. She may still kind of like, you know, is an easier pushover than I am. And I think I watch that and I don't want to do that. You know, not that is a bad thing.
Right.
You know, she's just a nicer person at heart. I'm a nice person, but she's more given and more forgiving and, you know,
she is more very giving.
Yeah. I'm more of an observant. I like to observe my surroundings and the people around me before I react.
Yeah.
You know, before I say anything.
Right.
You know, People call me mean and, you know, harsh, and but it is what it is. You know, I'm just different.
But I think it's such a poor characteristic for someone to assign to you, because you're none of those things.
Yeah,
at
but
all.
I think when people just, you know, when I open my mouth, I guess it's not, it's, when I say unfiltered, not necessarily cursing or anything like that, it's just, it is straightforward.
Yeah.
You but, know, and that's over also, a period of time.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that that's something too that is ascribed to women a lot of times. Like if you were a man and you had the same way, it would be fine.
Oh, he's madding up. Ooh,
it would be fine. Exactly.
But I get that. You know, I get that. I've gotten that over the years. Oh, you sound like a man. Thank you.
I used to get
so... I said, thank you very much. I said, but now you know how that feels. You know, as a woman, it's hard for you to stand up for yourself and not think anything about it. And I don't have a problem with it. You feel the way you feel about me. It's fine. I know what I am. I know I'm capable of, and I know how I perceive myself. And I like myself for who I am.
And you should, because you're awesome.
Thank you very much.
So how about that? No, I remember there's been this whole thing going on with, like, street harassment, you know, with guys, like, you know. I don't know if you saw this video that's been going around.
I haven't seen it, but I heard
about it. So I was talking to Drew the other day about this, and I have so many recollections in my childhood of people on, guys on the street saying to you, smile.
Yeah.
Can't you, oh, give me a smile. Won't you just smile? Why are you looking so mean? You should just smile. And I remember thinking, first of all, I remember you, most of the time you just ignored them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you were like, I don't need to smile for you and don't tell me what to do.
Right.
I remember you would, sometimes you would just be like, get the hell away from me. But I also remember, like, it, now that I think back on it, it's like, first of all, do you think, did these people think, let's say something was wrong, that them asking you to smile is going to make you feel better?
Like, am I going to tell them?
How is that going to make somebody feel better? Oh, you should do... That's, everybody feels better when they get told what to do.
People still do that now.
Ridiculous.
But, you know, the problem is that when you smile, people think you're flirting or whatever. Mm. Some people take it the wrong way.
Right.
You know? But if I'm walking, I'm not paying... I'm just walking.
You're walking.
Maybe I have something on my mind.
Exactly.
I don't have a reason to smile. You know, but it's your comment, you know, which is fine. You're entitled to it. But then just leave it at that. But it's easy to ignore. As long as you're not coming up on me or anything like that, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I just remember that all the time,
yeah.
People saying that to you. And I always would be thinking, like, why do they think that they need to tell her to smile? Because in my head, I was like, she smiles all the time. Like, why does she need to smile?
Exactly. I don't know.
Why does she need to smile to you? Like,
exactly.
Who are you?
Exactly. I don't know you.
Why would she smile at you?
I still get it.
You're nobody special.
Exactly.
She don't know you. I always remember, like, as a kid, thinking, like, why would she smile at them? Like, I never, and I always remember looking, I would look around and be like, but nobody else is smiling. Like, why are they singling you out to ask them to?
Exactly.
It's not like people walk around on the streets of New York City, like, cheesing all the time, you know?
You think something's wrong with them because they think you're crazy.
It's crazy. So, something people may not know about you, that you had a brief career as a model.
Very brief, but
yes. So,
not necessarily a model, but I, you know, I went to school.
You were doing modeling,
yeah.
Yes, you're doing modeling.
Yeah.
I mean, you had pictures done, and you were taking lessons and stuff like that. What was that like? Was that like excited? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I liked it.
You liked
it. I liked the fact that because I don't wear makeup and things like that, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun learning about certain products and how to apply makeup at the time. I mean, I still don't wear makeup.
Right.
But it's just the fact that, you know, I've learned it and I know what I look like, all made up and, you know, things like that for the camera. Because when you wear makeup for cameras versus everyday, it's a little different.
Right.
But it was fun. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learning to walk, the model walk, the model turn.
The strut.
The swoop and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. Even when I tell my kids, they don't believe me until I pull out the pictures and show them, you know? But yeah, it was fun. It was different. It was something that I said I wanted to do, and I went out and did it on my own. And, you know, something, check, I did it. You know, like a bucket list. I did it.
I remember I was very excited about it. I thought it was so cool. A, because you're gorgeous, so it didn't surprise me at all that you would be modeling. I was like, of course. It's Denise. She's gorgeous. She would be modeling. Of course she would be modeling. And I just remember being very... I was excited anyways. I thought it was really cool.
It was
neat.
Fun to play dress up.
Yeah. So let's turn to your children.
My children.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll just talk about each of them very briefly and just tell me... Well, something about them that you really love and see in them. and the people that they are and are becoming, because the girls are pretty young. But still, I mean, they're starting to take shape now, which is kind of scary to me, actually. But okay. So we'll start with the prince himself, Prince. Christopher Sean.
I don't know. I've never given him. I mean, I love my kids equally. People may think I have my favorite. They're my favorite at the time. Depends right. on what, how much they piss me off or not piss me off. It depends on the mood that I'm in or if they're just around me more so than anything else. But, yeah, let's talk about the prince, Mr. Christopher. He's been a prince for, like, going on 31 years now.
Yep.
So, and he's spoiled rotten. Mm. And I think more so, my mother has a lot to do with it.
Too much.
I have an input on it because I let him get away with a lot of things. I mean, I'm proud of him. Mm-hmm. He's made me a grandmother, of course. But before that, he's a good kid. You know, he didn't do drugs. He didn't do gangs. He had friends, positive people around him, mm-hmm. you know, for years. And still, you know, he has a good chip on his shoulder, mm-hmm. which I love about him.
Yeah.
And he knows what he wants. He's like you, very talkative, you know. And, I mean, that's all I can say about him. I love him to death. You know, he is the light of my life because he's the first, my first.
Yeah.
My firstborn.
He was my first nephew, too.
Yeah, we know. You couldn't get enough of him.
I just love Chris so much.
Yeah. Well, he's, you can tell,
like,
you're
my
kid.
Baby. I
but
love
yeah,
him.
He was, you know, he's the king, the princess.
Yes.
The prince,
and the first boy in our family. So we were like, I just remember being like, it's a boy.
Yeah.
Oh, my, like freaking out. Just like the idea of a boy. I didn't even.
The first boy, the first grand.
Yeah.
For my mom. So, yeah. So that's why he became the prince.
Yes.
And he's still the
and
prince.
And he still is. Yeah.
He knows it. And he knows
it's that. I'm bad. I spoil him too. I can't say no to him. It's terrible.
I mean, I can say no.
He
but
calls
it, you know,
me. He asks me for something. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. I don't even know how to say no. It's really bad. It's a horrible, bad habit. I
know
have.
How to say no, but then you think about it. But, you know, certain things I let him get away with. But certain things, you know, you have to put your foot down.
Well, one thing I'll say, he's a really amazing dad.
He is.
And,
I'm so proud of him.
And he. I would attribute a lot of that to the example that you set, being such a great mom to him and him seeing what it takes.
He's a very good dad. I mean, they're both good parents.
They are.
Mom. You know, I give her the props because it's hard.
It is.
I have to speak up for her because she's a mother.
Yep.
I know what mothers go through on their own and, you know, living with a kid and you have to do certain things. But that's a title that we take on.
Yep.
You know, I have to put it out there. We as mothers, we complain a lot, you know, that, you know, you have so much to do. But this is a title. This is a job that we took on as parents. But I have to give him his props. You know, he is a good father. He is a good role model because he is there. And I'm not just saying this because he's my son.
No, I mean, he is there.
I mean, for a father to wash a kid's hair.
Yes.
You know,
no,
that
I
was
mean,
the first
he is
sign
there.
Of, you know, he's always there for her. And I love her to death. It's my little girl.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for real.
She's too cute.
She is beyond cute. She is like a little ball of sunshine.
Yeah, she is.
And
she's so smart.
And she's so funny.
Yeah, she's very
funny,
smart.
Funny, funny, funny. She was cracking me up.
Yeah, she's cute.
it's like if I talked a lot and then Chris talked a lot and then Zizi now
well,
I see.
She talks
like,
a lot because she takes that from her mother and her father.
She's like double.
She has a big personality.
She
which
really
is what,
does.
This is what the attraction is.
Yeah.
You know, she's very smart.
She should be a model herself.
Yeah,
too.
She's gorgeous.
She's just beautiful.
So, yeah, so that's what he gave me, my beautiful granddaughter.
Yes.
You know, I wish he had waited a little so I could enjoy her more. But, you know.
How long is he going to wait? He's getting up there. I mean,
it's kind of hard when, you know, you have two of your own and you want all your time to spend with your granddaughter.
That's true.
But then you have two of your own. So kind of like, you know, you're trying to split the time and let everybody feel the love.
But I really loved being a young aunt myself.
Well,
just speaking from my perspective. I know, but I'm saying just speaking for the girls. I just remember it being cool having a nephew that was just 7 years younger than me. I remember being like, that's my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It was just cool. And I liked it. So
yeah.
I'm sure they feel the same way being aunts.
Yeah, they love her to death.
Of course.
They tell everybody, I'm an aunt. No, you're not.
Yes, I am. That's me. That's what I used to do, too. I thought, yes, I have a nephew.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
A, you know. So
my two princesses.
Yes. Miss Faith.
Very, very different personalities.
So different.
They're so opposite.
It's like you and Karen.
Funny. Yeah, very much so. You think Faith was Karen's
it's
kid.
True.
Because, you know.
No, you had that backwards, by the way. You would think
their personality.
Zoe was Karen's kid.
Well, certain things, but yeah.
Yeah.
But faith is faith, you know, that's all I can say.
Why faith? Don't say faith is faith.
Faith is faith. Faith has a, for me, she's a little too young to have a personality the way she has. You know, her father keeps saying that she, I wonder where she get that from. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't develop my personality until later on in my 20s and 30s.
That is not true.
I mean, as strong as she has it. You know?
I mean, she's a very strong personality.
Yeah, but she's still young. She cannot walk around with attitude. But, you know, I give her that much. You know, I like her personality in the sense that she's not afraid to say if something bothers her or whatever. She has a moment where she does become a little baby.
Yes.
You know, and she, you know, like.
She's sensitive. And
yeah,
I think
she's very sensitive.
That's what, and I mean, this is what I always say about you. It's like people would think that you're hard or what they might say those things. And I'm like, no. Denise is probably one of the most sensitive people I know.
Yeah.
When I talk about you, that's what I always think of that. Like you're very aware and in tune with what's going on around you. And Faith is the same way.
Yeah. I mean, she speaks up, you know.
Absolutely.
But I love her to death. She's one of a kind.
She is, and she's
Faith.
She's just Faith.
She's Faith, and
she's our Faith.
She's, you know.
And I just think about, you know, it was a hard pregnancy with her and everything too.
Well, yeah, she was early.
She was early,
6 weeks early,
and
tiny.
Yeah,
nobody wanted to hold her because she was so fragile.
She was so tiny.
You know, 4'13" is kind of small.
She was so. I remember Drew holding her.
Like a football.
She just fit in one hand.
Yeah, she was very tiny.
She was so little. None of her clothes fit her.
Nothing newborn, nothing. Not even preemie clothes.
She needed like doll clothes.
Yeah, it was very small on her. She was tiny. She's still kind of tiny.
She is. But she's in middle school now.
She's in high school, seventh grade, you know, can't believe it.
Crazy.
You know, she have her moments. She's struggling a little bit, but, you know, she's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, she's trying, which is all I can ask.
Yeah. She is trying, and I've seen the past couple of years in particular, she's gotten much better her interpersonal skills with people, not necessarily the family per se, but just, you know, you can see at her birthday party, her interacting with her friends and those kinds of things. So it's really nice to see that.
Right.
And so we come to Miss O.
Miss Popular.
Miss America.
Yeah.
Zoe
would be my straight A student.
Yeah.
Zoe is Zoe. She's my pocketbook, basically. She's always on me. You know, they both love me to death, but Zoe more so. I don't know what it is. I just can't shake her. You know?
She's the baby.
She is the baby.
Yeah.
And she make it known.
Yes.
You know? And she's a clinger.
Mm-hmm.
She has a moment where she's shy. She's a pushover. She's very quiet at times. When she do talk, she has a big personality. But she's, like I said, she's Miss Popularity in school.
Of course.
Everybody knows Zoe. Everybody want to be around Zoe. Everybody want to talk to Zoe.
Yeah.
You know, Zoe is
you
Zoe.
You named her perfectly.
Yeah, you know.
So. I remember you were like, oh, yeah, I named her Zoe. And I was like, Zoe, really? Mm-hmm. Not that I had heard the name, but certainly nobody in our family ever had the name before. And I was like, okay, Zoe, you know, that sounds cool. And then as she's getting, you know, 2-3 years old, I'm like, oh, my God, she is a Zoe.
Yeah, her personality is
big. Is like, boom, yeah.
She's a big personality and is very infectious.
And she's got that megawatt smile.
Yeah.
She just
and that like, eyes, you know, it's like
so
ridiculous.
Happy. And she's so artistic.
Very much so.
Which she totally.
I mean, they're both artistic, but more so. Faith is more in the arts and craft aspect. She's more hands-on. She wants to do things that's hands-on.
She wants to, like, build things and stuff like that.
Or clean up or cook or whatever. That's more hands-on. It's always more artistic in that sense. You know, like the artwork that she does.
Which she totally gets from you. You used to draw all the time.
Oh, yeah. They and both get their artistic side from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't see it coming from Junie, That's not his strong suit.
Yeah, because Faith gets the homemade side from me and Zoe get the art side from me.
Yes, she told me she wants to be an artist.
Yeah, so we try to do a lot of artsy and crafty things in my house. I don't have the space for it, but you know, I gotta let it flow.
Yeah. She's very talented though. I mean, I honestly told you I showed some pictures I had taken of some of her drawings to some art friends of mine that are artists, and they were really impressed.
Right. Now she's finishing elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So next step is junior high school next year. So we're in the process of trying to find schools for her that for her creativity, you know, so she could further that.
And her aptitude level, too, because she's so bright.
Right,
you know.
She's a straight A student.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find a great school for her.
I hope so.
I'm sure you will. Juggling all that. You're going to have both of them at two different schools. And
yeah, that's going to be the rough
part. It's going to be a lot to get through.
Yeah, that's going to be my other problem.
Yeah.
But we get to that bridge when we get there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you have any questions for me?
No.
No?
I think I know you pretty well.
Yeah, you do know me pretty well. For sure. Okay. Well, I think we're good. We got it all in. We talked about mom. We talked about childhood. We talked about me, of course, most importantly.
We talk about my sister, my other sister. That yeah, I we
could
so talk. Much.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had a lot. She has a lot of time on her own. She was on here. So people will be hearing lots about her.
I know, right?
During her interview, I'm sure. They were up here for a while.
I know, right?
But we could talk about our lovely sister, Karen.
Yes. Big sister.
Big sister.
Yeah.
She's so awesome.
Yeah, she's one of a kind.
She's such a
my next, you know,
caretaker. That's how I always see her.
Like, well, my life, that's all I know is Karen, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I've had her for years in my life, and then after that you came along, but that was 11 years, you know, difference between the two of us.
Yeah.
But Karen's always been in my life, you know.
Period. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, and this is just something that I always think of, is that your names were like one name.
Mm-hmm.
Denise and Karen.
Yeah.
Denise and Karen.
Yeah.
Denise and Karen. Like that, people would just say it as if it was one entity.
Yeah.
So for sure, I mean, that's, and I see that Faith and Zoe.
Yeah.
Faith and Zoe.
Well,
you know?
I mean, my only wish is that going forward, that my kids would, be like me and my sister was as kids, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
The closeness that we have, I mean, that's not happening right now.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, but I think they have their moments.
Right.
But I would love for them to be more like in that sense. You know, I think it's how we were brought up.
Right.
You know, you couldn't go anywhere without the other one.
Right.
You couldn't come home without the other
yeah.
one. If you're going to come home, you have to wait for her. So if she's going to get in trouble,
you're going to get in trouble.
Because you can't come home without her.
Right.
You know, so that's what made the bond between the two of us growing
strong.
Up for so long.
Right.
When she got in trouble, I had to get in trouble because we can't come in the house together without
right.
each other. You know, so we kind of push each other because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't like being in trouble.
Right.
She got used to being in trouble, but that's not where I want to be. You know, so the trust factor had to come in knowing that that's my sister.
Right.
That's my friend first, you know, and that's who I have to depend on as a kid.
Right.
Growing up.
So you were trying to keep her safe.
Yeah. You
right.
know, or I had to look for her.
Right.
So for all those years before you came along, I had to, like, you know, and then when you came along, we became mama to you.
Yep.
You know, we still had to co-parent because we had to take turns.
Right, you did. It was like, okay, well, I have this after school, so you got
to
go get her.
Yeah, we had to fight about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I took her last week. It's your turn to take her.
It's your turn, right.
You know?
You got to pick her up after school.
We worked it out, but, you know, teamwork.
Yeah, because mom would just, whatever school was best for me, she would just put me in there.
Yeah.
You guys just had to figure it out.
Figure it out, but, you know, that's what it is, you know. And then when he came along, we became very close. You know, we went a lot of places together, you and I. And, you know, we did see a lot of movies together.
Yes.
Back in the day, every Friday.
Every Friday.
You know, I think we've seen every theater
in the city. I think we went to everyone. Oh.
Remember that time with Lady Payne and
That's the story we have to tell for real.
That was too funny.
What movie was it? Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yes.
We went to the movies.
Yeah, we left work. I think I left work at 11:30.
Yeah. 11:30 we'd take a half. I worked at my mom's office in the summertime in between school.
Right.
And every Friday, I would take a half day and we'd go to see a movie.
Because I was on summer hours, and so I left work early on Friday.
Exactly.
So I'm like, let's go to a movie. So every Friday, we would go to a movie. So we went to see Searching for Bobby Fischer in the Village.
In the Village.
And I forgot what theater it was, but we decided to go and, you know, whatever. So we're sitting in the theater.
Everything's fine. We got
everything
a popcorn.
Is fine. Of course, because we went a certain time. So there's like the older people,
right,
senior citizens,
right,
are at this particular
at the
movie at this time of the day.
Yep.
So, but we didn't think anything of it.
Nope.
You know, it's a movie. So we go sit down and everything. And somewhere along in the movie, we see this woman
get up. Yep.
And we're thinking, okay, maybe she's going to the bathroom or getting some popcorn. But all of a sudden I said, Leslie, you hear that? She said, no. I said, no, do you hear that? All of a sudden, we hear this thing, and there's this old woman standing in the aisle by the door, watching the movie like nothing is going on. And
peeing. Right there.
Right
pee,
there.
Dropping on the carpet.
She didn't even flinch.
She didn't flinch. And she just went right back to her seat when she was done. To this day, I can't believe
it. We can believe it.
We were like, did that just happen? It was like Twilight Zone. Nobody even moved.
And we're talking like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it was the funniest thing
ever. Oh, my God. I tell that story all the time.
I still can't believe it. But the fact that she went back and sat down.
Yeah, that was the thing that got me is because she was sitting ahead of us. So we saw her get up and she walked. And then we heard it and we were like, what? And then,
but she didn't even. She continued watching the movie. Yep. She just stood there.
My thing is like, did just pee in your seat. Then why'd you have to get up for?
You know,
if you were just gonna sit
because
back
you hear
down.
It, and this movie seat over.
Oh my
but you
god!
You can hear it hitting the carpet.
Oh my god!
You know, it was just gross. And she sat back down.
She sat right back down.
Really?
It was crazy. I couldn't even concentrate on the movie after that.
That was hilarious.
It was crazy.
Hilarious.
Oh my gosh!
I would never forget that day. It was too much fun.
Way too much.
But we went to movies every Friday.
Oh,
you
gosh.
Know, but yeah, but I love my sisters. I don't know what life would be like without my sisters, all my sisters. You know, I think, I don't know, sometimes I think I'm like the glue that holds my sisters
oh,
together.
Oh, for sure. You're the typical middle sister that we all roads lead to Denise.
That includes Valerie Butler.
Absolutely. You're the middle.
I can understand why people, I don't know, can't fathom how people fight with their siblings, first of all, or don't talk to their siblings. I don't know. I don't feel complete. You know, even if it's just once a week or whatever, just to pick up the phone and say, hi, how you doing or whatever. I don't know. It's siblings, for God's sake. Isn't, you know, friends come and go.
Yep.
This is a family that you're born in.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know. I just can't answer. I don't know.
I don't know either. And it always saddens me when I see families that, you know,
don't argue and don't get along. Or don't talk to each other for years.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
It's crazy.
Or take something tragic for them to come together. And even then, they separate.
Mm-hmm. But it also reminds me of, and actually I have it in the car. I saved it so you could see it. Is that, remember that TV show Sisters?
I do. Tia and Tamara?
No,
which one?
No, Sisters on NBC. It was the
Alex. That was my
Georgie.
Favorite. That was our favorite show.
That was our favorite
show. All of them
had
boys' names.
They all had boys' names.
But it was really, yeah.
Georgie, Teddy, Alex.
Yeah, I remember that. Susie Kurtz? Yes.
Kurtz, whatever her name was.
Yeah. Redhead.
They do an Entertainment Weekly. They do a reunion issue. And they did a reunion of the four of them. So I have it in the car to show you.
I love that show.
I know. It was such a great show.
That's like one of the best shows on TV. They shouldn't even take it off.
They never should have taken it.
All
so
good
great.
Shows they shouldn't have taken off. That's ER true. Was one of them.
Yes. And George Clooney was on Sisters.
Yes, he was.
So he was the detective. So yeah. that's funny. There's a little connection there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good place to end it then.
There you go.
All right. I love you.
I love you too.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Leslie Mack here one last time, finishing out part one of our Dispatches from the Blue Room Thanksgiving extravaganza. And again, you can find us online at Interracial John, that's JAWN.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And you can find me at Leslie Mack on Twitter and my co-host at Very White Guy also on Twitter, and the John itself at Interracial John. Again, that's JAWN on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, all that good stuff. And we'll see you for part two, which will be coming out shortly.